Thank you for visiting the Illinois Supported Employment Transformation Initiative website. The following recording is part of our IPS Training and Education online library. Visit our website to obtain free information and resources to promote employment in the behavioral health field.
Good morning. My name is Suzanne Logston, and I'm an IPS trainer for the Division of Mental Health in Illinois. IPS, or Individual Placement and Support, is the evidence-based practice model of supported employment, which has proven to be most effective at helping individuals with severe mental illness to obtain and maintain competitive employment. There are 8 IPS principles that guide implementation and that are evaluated through a 25-item fidelity scale. We will be discussing the fidelity review process and preparation during this training. To begin our discussion on IPS fidelity, I'd like to outline the objectives for this training. Research indicates that the closer adherence there is to the IPS fidelity scale, the greater the success rate will be in terms of job seekers securing and maintaining competitive preference-based employment in the community. Resultantly, the goal of this training is to take a close look at each of the 25 items on the fidelity scale that are used to measure the level of implementation of IPS during an IPS fidelity review. We will also discuss and explore specific documentation requirements, as well as how to best prepare for an IPS fidelity review. When looking at fidelity structure, the IPS fidelity scale is organized into 3 sections. There are 3 items evaluated under staffing, 8 items under organization, and 14 items under services. Each of the 25 total items is rated on a 5-point response format system, ranging from 1, which equals no implementation, to a 5, which is full implementation, with intermediate numbers representing progressively greater degrees of implementation. Let's begin exploring the IPS fidelity scale by taking a closer look at the fidelity items under staffing. When measuring implementation effectiveness for the item of caseload size, reviewers are looking to see that each employment specialist has an individual caseload and that they are working with no more than 20 clients. This is because small caseloads of 15 to 20 clients are manageable and allow the employment specialist time to provide effective employment services to people who are in different stages of the service. For example, engagement versus job development or ongoing job retention support. When measuring the item of employment services staff, reviewers are assessing if employment specialists provide only employment services. This is important because it ensures the employment goal is the focus of interventions, which research indicates is a necessity for success to occur. While the employment specialist may contribute on occasion to the clinical team by assisting with case management duties, the employment specialist has a protected position and does not spend more than 1 hour a week as a full-time employment specialist on case management activities. An employment specialist may visit the Social Security office with a client for the purpose of getting a Social Security card, something that is a requirement in order to become employed at any job. Assistance that relates directly to a client's ability to secure employment is allowable. When measuring implementation effectiveness for the item of vocational generalist, each employment specialist carries out all phases of the employment service model, including intake, engagement, assessment, rapid job search, job placement, job coaching, and follow-along retention supports. The reason for this item is that clients often drop out of IPS services when they are expected to transition across multiple staff. People develop a working alliance when the relationship is not interrupted and information is learned about each client that pertains to their individualized job choices, job searches, and job supports. Next, we are going to take a closer look at the fidelity items for organization and that tie to the clinical integration principle of the IPS model. For the item of integration of rehabilitation with mental health treatment through team assignment, IPS Fidelity reviewers will check that employment specialists are attached to no more than 2 mental health treatment teams, and that 90 to 100% of the caseload is comprised of referrals from these 2 mental health treatment teams. This is important because employment specialists are expected to spend much of their time meeting with clients and employers. They are also expected to coordinate services with vocational rehab, mental health, and to spend most of their time in the community. In order for employment specialists to keep track of all of these priorities, they cannot also be responsible for tracking down mental health practitioners on a variety of teams or in a variety of agencies. Instead, services should be organized so that employment specialists work with a limited number of referral sources with whom they can develop relationships. During the Fidelity review, this item is evaluated through interviews with clinical staff, employment specialists, and clinical staff. For the item of integration of rehabilitation with mental health treatment teams through frequent team member contact, Fidelity reviewers will be checking to see that the employment specialist attends weekly mental health treatment team meetings for the entire meeting and actively participates with shared decision making. Employment specialist service documentation also needs to be integrated into the client's main treatment file, and their office should be in close proximity to the other mental health treatment team members. Additionally, the employment specialist should help the team think about employment for consumers that have not yet been referred to IPS. The essence of this criterion is that there is frequent communication between all service providers for planning and coordination of services. The goal is to provide seamless services so that clients receive the same message from all providers. During the actual Fidelity review, reviewers will observe clinical team meetings, interview clinical staff and clients to rate this item. When rating Fidelity items for organization, we will begin with discussing the collaborative partnership with the Department of Rehabilitation Services and Vocational Rehab. For the item of collaboration between employment specialists and vocational rehabilitation counselors, the employment specialists and vocational rehab counselors should have frequent contact for the purpose of discussing shared clients and identifying potential referrals. Research indicates that clients who receive services from both vocational rehab and IPS have better employment outcomes. However, services must be coordinated so that clients are not frustrated with conflicting messages and supports. To achieve all 5 points on this item, employment specialists and vocational rehabilitation counselors need to have scheduled face-to-face meetings at least monthly and client-related contact on a weekly basis that may include contact by phone, email, or in person. Additionally, many providers conduct quarterly meetings with vocational rehab to discuss year-to-date numbers, troubleshoot any issues, etc. It is recommended that vocational rehab also is invited to participate on the IPS steering committee. During the Fidelity review, the provider's DRS or vocational rehab counselor liaison is interviewed. Continuing on with Fidelity items for organization as it relates to the IPS team, let's talk about the vocational unit. For the item of vocational unit on the scale, to score a 5, there needs to be at least 2 full-time employment specialists and 1 IPS team leader. This ensures there is coverage provided for each other's caseloads when needed. Additionally, weekly client-based group supervision, also known as an IPS team meeting, should occur where clients are discussed, and strategies to promote progress are explored, as well as job leads are shared. If an agency serves 95 adults or fewer, it is possible that the agency could receive a 5 for vocational unit, even if the unit consisted only of 1 full-time employment specialist and 1 supervisor who also carries a caseload of 15 people. The rationale is that the supervisor also functions as another employment specialist. But if the agency serves more people, over 100, the rating would be a 4 because in this instance, the agency should consider hiring another employment specialist. It is recommended that the IPS supervisor meet weekly with each employment specialist on an individual basis to set personal objectives and targets, as well as to maximize support and mentorship for staff. During the actual IPS fidelity review, this item is evaluated through interviews with employment specialists and the IPS supervisor, as well as by observing the IPS team meeting. Now let's explore the fidelity item for the IPS supervisor under the organization section of the scale. The role of the employment supervisor is to support employment specialists with developing and improving skills through outcome-based supervision. The following guidelines and actions also apply when measuring this item on the scale. One full-time supervisor is responsible for no more than 10 employment specialists. The IPS supervisor conducts weekly face-to-face supervision with employment specialists to review client situations and identify new strategies to help clients with their work goals. The IPS supervisor communicates with mental health team leaders to ensure that services are integrated to problem solve programmatic issues such as referral issues or transfer to follow along supports to mental health workers, and also to be a champion for the value of work. They should also attend a meeting for each mental health treatment team on a quarterly basis. The IPS supervisor conducts monthly field mentoring with new employment specialists or those having difficulty on job development, and models, observes, and gives feedback to support further skill development in this area. It is a good idea as a best practice to continue monthly field mentoring with each employment specialist on an ongoing basis to support skill development for any phase of the IPS model. For example, the employment specialist may be vocalizing trouble assisting clients with developing work preferences, so the IPS supervisor may attend a vocational assessment meeting with the employment specialist and client to support the employment specialist with the use of motivational interviewing to shape work preferences. The IPS supervisor should also review client outcomes and set goals with employment specialists to improve program performance on a regular basis. Be sure to celebrate small successes as well as larger ones. A program might report that it tracks the number of referrals to the program, the number of people who obtain competitive jobs, the average number of days to find employment, the percentage of people who find jobs related to their interests, the number of people who retain jobs for 30 days, 90 days, 6 months, and 1 year. They can use this data to work on program improvement. For example, an agency might notice through their data analysis that the number of days to finding employment had been increasing over the past few quarters. So they may then talk about that as a team, and the employment specialist may ask for more training in job development. The IPS supervisor may then begin spending more time in supervision talking about job development strategies used for each client, and also may start going into the field with one employment specialist who seems to be struggling. With these new targeted and data-driven strategies, the provider should see the time from intake to job placement decrease over the next couple of quarters. If the IPS supervisor does not have experience as an IPS employment specialist, it is recommended that supervisors carry a small caseload. The caseload is dependent upon the number of employment specialists supervised. For example, if the supervisor is responsible for 10 employment specialists, then they should only have one person on their caseload. If they're supervising only one employment specialist, a caseload of 15 would be appropriate. If the supervisor does not carry a caseload, the reviewers will not rate this item down, but they might recommend that the supervisor take on a small number of people in order to gain experience to maximize their ability to support and mentor their employment specialist. During the fidelity review, the item of IPS supervisor is evaluated through interviews with clinical staff, employment specialists, and the IPS supervisor. Reviewers will also look at team meeting agendas, field mentoring logs, and any other management meeting agendas or minutes that the provider utilizes in their role as an IPS supervisor. The next item on the fidelity scale under the organization section is zero exclusion. The zero exclusion principle of the IPS model ensures that all clients who are interested in working have access to supported employment services, regardless of job readiness factors such as substance abuse, symptoms, history of violent behavior, cognitive impairments, and treatment non-adherence. Employment specialists also must uphold this principle by offering to help with another job when one has ended, regardless of the reason that the job ended or the number of jobs held. If vocational rehab has screening criteria, the mental health agency does not use them to exclude anybody. Clients are not screened out formally or informally. While many agencies report that the IPS program is open to any client who expresses an interest in work, clients may be screened out on a case-by-case basis. For example, a case manager might neglect to ask someone about his interest in work, or might suggest that someone work on sobriety before embarking on employment goals. There may be times when clients are encouraged to take a break from work to focus on treatment. This would not be consistent with zero exclusion. Referrals should be solicited by many referral sources within the mental health agency, for example, from case managers, therapists, and psychiatrists. In IPS-supported employment, there are no limits on the number of jobs with which the program will help someone, regardless of whether or not vocational rehabilitation is able to pay for more than one job placement. Again, research indicates that despite common barriers such as homelessness, substance abuse, lack of medication compliance, etc., individuals with mental illness can and do succeed at working competitively, and in fact, work often functions as a harm reduction technique that can increase a client's motivation and efforts to achieve other important recovery goals such as sobriety, housing, and mental health symptom management. The intrinsic motivation to want to work is the driving force that really indicates whether a client will be successful or not. The next fidelity item in the organization section of the scale is agency focus on competitive employment. This item looks at how the agency promotes competitive work. The goal is to champion work as an integral part of recovery through multiple strategies, including having questions about interests in employment on the intake form and on annual or semi-annual assessments or treatment plan reviews. The agency should also have visual displays to promote IPS within the lobby, waiting areas, and throughout the agency to encourage awareness and access to the IPS service. Additionally, the agency should offer ways for clients to share back-to-work success stories and with other clients and staff. Venues where this may occur include at agency-wide employment recognition events, in newsletters, during peer support groups, and through social media outlets such as Facebook, the agency's website, or Twitter. The agency should also measure the rate of competitive employment for all clients being served within the agency, whether or not they are in IPS, on at least a quarterly basis, and share these outcomes with agency leadership and staff. By doing so, the demand for services versus those being served can be evaluated to shape program capacity needs and strategic planning. Agency focus on competitive employment is in place to ensure that all clients have the opportunity to consider employment. Some clients who have not worked for years need help thinking about how a job might fit into their lives. Some people need to develop hope that they could be successful in a job that they like. Through this fidelity item, staff are encouraged to help clients think about work over time, rather than asking a simple yes or no question about work maybe once a year. During the fidelity review, agency focus on competitive employment is evaluated through interviews with quality assurance, clients, clinicians, and leadership. Also, reviewers will look for marketing materials throughout the agency for IPS. The final fidelity item under the organization section on the scale is executive team support for supported employment. The purpose of this item is to ensure that supported employment implementation and sustainability does not rest entirely on the shoulders of the IPS team. Things reviewers are looking for when evaluating IPS implementation effectiveness for this item include: number one, that the CEO or executive director and clinical director demonstrate basic knowledge of IPS supported employment principles. Executive team members are not expected to be able to list the 7 employment supported employment principles or to describe the program in great detail. However, reviewers will expect these administrators to understand what is meant by an evidence-based practice. If asked to describe the program, administrators should be able to talk about some of the principles in a general way. For example, the program is open to anyone, it's about jobs in the community, and they help people look for jobs right away. The second piece is there needs to be an agency QA process that includes an explicit review of the supported employment program, utilizing the fidelity scale as a primary monitoring tool at least every 6 months or until high fidelity is reached, in which case this would occur annually. Also, once the initial or baseline fidelity review has been conducted, the QA process should then use the fidelity report to guide and make improvements in IPS implementation and sustainability. Number three, the existence of an IPS steering committee where at least one member of the executive team actively participates is a requirement. The steering committee should convene every 6 months or quarterly for those who have not yet reached high fidelity. The IPS steering committee should focus on reviewing fidelity reports in order to develop action plans for higher fidelity. Ideally, the committee would include a diverse group of stakeholders to include clients, family members, local colleges, employers, etc. Minimally, the IPS steering committee should include people from the mental health agency and VR who understand the IPS supported employment approach and are in a position to make programmatic changes. Number four, the CEO or executive director needs to communicate how IPS services support the mission of the agency to all agency staff during the first 6 months of program implementation and annually thereafter. It is important that this item is not delegated to another executive. The CEO or executive director is critical to implementation. If administrators and practitioners don't believe that IPS is important to the CEO, then they may not put in the hard work needed to implement or sustain the practice. For example, the CEO may champion IPS with staff in the agency by speaking about IPS and the importance of work to all agency employees during the calendar year. It is important that staff throughout the agency hear from the CEO about the importance of the IPS program in relationship to the overall mission of the organization, rather than only to other agency administrators. Number five, the IPS supervisor needs to meet with the CEO or executive director and executive team at least 2 times a year to discuss barriers and program implementation solutions. The IPS supervisor, who knows the program best, should have direct access to the executive team at least a couple of times a year so that he or she can talk to the people who may be in a very good position to help with problems. This needs to be a scheduled meeting twice per year, which further highlights the CEO's support of IPS. To evaluate this item during the fidelity review, interviews are conducted with the CEO, executive leadership, QA, clinicians, DRS, or vocational rehab, in order to fully evaluate this item. Now let's dive into fidelity items under the services section of the fidelity scale. The first item in this section, which is work incentives planning, also known as benefits counseling, is an important component of client choice. Clients enrolled in IPS supported employment should all have access to comprehensive, accurate information about how their benefits will be affected by a return to work. Research indicates that 60 to 70% of individuals with mental illness report wanting to work, yet only 15% are actually employed. The largest barrier to clients taking action on their work goal is a fear of losing their benefits, understandably so. This is why benefit planning services are a critical piece of the IPS model. When we talk about work incentives planning, there are several components that need to be a part of this item in order for a provider to achieve a high fidelity score. Employment specialists or clinical staff need to refer individual clients to a specially trained work incentives planner for comprehensive assistance with understanding how working may impact their benefits prior to starting a job. Clients also need to be referred when they have changes in work hours or pay. Additionally, clients should receive support and information about how to report earnings from work to Social Security in order to avoid any back payments. During the fidelity review, the work incentives planner will be interviewed by the reviewers, along with clients, employment specialists, clinical staff, and the IPS supervisor in order to determine scoring for this item. Additionally, reviewers will look for individual benefit planning analyses in client charts that are being reviewed. The next item on the scale is disclosure under services. Client preferences are important in IPS, and the issue of disclosure is a key element of client choice. This item encourages employment specialists to go beyond simply asking yes or no questions about disclosure. Instead, employment specialists are encouraged to help each person think about the possible benefits or costs of disclosure and to also help each person choose the specific information that they would like the employment specialist to share. Given the chance, some people will change their minds about disclosure over time. Therefore, it is recommended that employment specialists bring up the issue of disclosure again if clients are having difficulties with employment goals or if a job has ended and a client wishes to begin a new job search. In order to be scored a 5 on this fidelity scale item, the employment specialist cannot require that all clients do or do not disclose. The employment specialist must help clients make their own decisions by evaluating the advantages and disadvantages of disclosure with each client. Additionally, the employment specialist needs to discuss specific information to be disclosed according to the client's wishes. A good way to help clients determine specifics around disclosure for themselves is to offer examples of what the employment specialist usually says to employers when job developing. Discussions should occur on more than one occasion, and clients can change their minds about disclosure at any time and as many times as they would like. It is also very important that agencies develop a disclosure worksheet or form where conversations that include pros and cons and specifics about disclosure are documented. This form should also be updated as changes occur. Next, we're going to take a look at the vocational assessment. Item number 3 under services on the IPS fidelity scale is ongoing work-based vocational assessment. The essence of this item is that clients are not asked to engage in pre-vocational evaluation or job readiness activities. Instead, the employment specialist typically spends a few weeks talking with the client, the case manager, psychiatrist, and with permission family members and previous employers. Information gathered is not to determine employability, but rather to determine the type of job and supports needed to help the person succeed. Type of work environment, work history, strengths, and skills that would be in line with the individual's recovery goals and that would help a person have a positive work experience are discussed and explored. Job accommodations that could support the person, for example, working part-time, are identified. This information is gathered into a document, sometimes referred to as a vocational assessment or career profile. The career profile is updated with each new job experience so that when staff leave the agency, lessons learned from the person's work experiences are not lost. During the actual fidelity review, the reviewers rate the ongoing work-based vocational assessment item according to the following guidelines. First, the vocational assessment is conducted within 1 month of enrollment into the IPS program, but occurs over 2 to 3 sessions. It is important to have clear dates on the vocational assessment or career profile that indicate when it was started and when it was completed, and also when it's been updated. Information should be sourced from a variety of people and places to include the client themselves, the client's treatment team, family members, and clinical records. The vocational assessment should include sections about preferences, experiences, skills, strengths, and work history. This item is evaluated by looking at employment assessments, referral forms to IPS, and IPS intake forms during the fidelity review process. Now let's talk about the fidelity item of rapid job search. The purpose of this fidelity item is to ensure that clients are assisted in contacting employers directly about jobs, rather than being steered toward lengthy vocational counseling, pre-vocational groups, or work adjustment programs. It also ensures that the job search is active. In other words, if employment specialists are meeting with clients week after week to hand them a list of job leads, but neither the employment specialist nor the client begins contacting employers, it is very unlikely that the client will find work. Therefore, the item of rapid job search for a competitive job mandates that the first face-to-face employer contact occur within 1 month of program entry. This is evaluated by reviewers by cross-referencing the completion date of the employment assessment with the date of the first face-to-face employer contact on the job log. Additionally, the next item, which is individualized job search, ensures that each client's preferences for work are being honored during the rapid job search and job development phase of IPS. Employment specialists should help clients look for jobs that are consistent with the person's stated interest. However, they also take other factors in consideration when helping the person think about a job goal. For example, they should be talking to each person about their previous job experiences, the things that worked and the things that didn't. They should also be helping the person think of a job that will maximize their strengths and minimize any issues such as symptoms, cognitive impairments, or substance abuse. Also, job preferences may not just be related to the type of job. Some people have stronger preferences related to the location, rate of pay, or work environment. Employment specialists should be listening to what is most important to each individual client. When scoring this item, reviewers check to see that employment specialists make employer contact based off individual client job preferences and not the job market. When clients have limited work histories, employment specialists provide information about a wide range of jobs in the community. Finally, an individualized job search plan should be present and up to date. If each employment plan reads, "client will look for a part-time job," then the plans are not at all individualized. Encourage employment specialists to make each plan specific to the person's job preferences and job search preferences so that even if the names were removed from a stack of job search plans, the employment specialist could still identify which plan the person belonged to. This item is evaluated by cross-referencing the vocational assessment and job search plan with job development logs. Also, interviews are conducted with clients in the IPS program, and questions regarding work preferences are asked and verified with documentation on the vocational assessment and job search plan. As we continue with the rapid job search phase of IPS, items on the scale for job development are evaluated. In IPS-supported employment, clients are encouraged to search for jobs as much as possible. In fact, many people with serious mental illness are better than anyone else at engaging, learning about the needs of, and marketing themselves to employers, and in particular, at explaining their recovery experience when that is pertinent. For example, ex-felons are much more effective generally than the employment specialist when sharing about serious mental illness and describing what they've done to recover and to rehabilitate themselves. Job development is always viewed in terms of doing with or in support of an individual. Even when clients are not in need of or interested in the employment specialist making direct contacts to employers on their behalf, employment specialists must be knowledgeable about requirements of different jobs and the range and needs of employers in their communities. Employment specialists share job leads with all clients, regardless of advocating directly with employers for a specific individual. When reviewers score the job development frequent employer contact item on the scale, they will look to see that each employment specialist has a minimum of 6 face-to-face employer contacts per week, and that the employment specialist is using a tracking form that is reviewed on a weekly basis by the supported employment supervisor. Item number 7 on the scale under services is job development, quality of employer contact. Employment specialists must build relationships with employers through multiple visits in person that are planned to learn the needs of the employer, share what the IPS program offers to the employer, and describe client strengths that are a good match for the employer. The relationships the employment specialist builds with employers should be based off individual client preferences. Employment specialists conducting employer contacts for job development are observed during the fidelity review. Reviewers look to confirm that the employer contact is geared towards building an employer relationship, rather than to simply place a single client. This is an important factor for clients who choose to disclose and that want direct contact with troubleshooting issues on the job. Additionally, should openings not be available upon initial contact with the employers, the opportunity to glean information about future openings is available when a relationship is established. The next items for services on the scale ensure clients are working in jobs of their choosing that are competitive. Specifically, the item of diversity of job types seeks to evaluate if working clients are placed in different types of job positions, further ensuring client preferences are being honored. During the fidelity review process, reviewers will ask to see a list of jobs for clients who are currently employed. If there are fewer than 10 working clients, the reviewers will ask to see a list for the past 6 months. If job titles appear similar, reviewers will ask the team about the job duties and skills required to do the jobs in order to decide if the jobs are of the same type. For example, if the job list included customer service associate, guest service associate, and sales floor associate, the reviewers might ask about specific job duties for these positions. If those jobs include duties that are essentially helping customers in a retail setting, then reviewers would rate those jobs as being the same type. When scoring this item, the reviewers will assess the 10 working client positions to see that the employment specialist is assisting clients with obtaining different types of jobs 85 to 100% of the time, which would earn the provider a 5 for this item. Similarly, when measuring fidelity adherence for the item of diversity of employers, reviewers are looking to see that 85 to 100% of the working clients are employed at different places of employment. This ensures clients are working in jobs of their choosing as well as in an integrated setting. During the fidelity review, reviewers will again evaluate a list of people who are currently working, along with the names of their employers. If fewer than 10 people are working, reviewers will ask for a job list for the past 6 months to try to get a list of at least 10 jobs to review. There is an allowance given because we know some clients may want to work for the same employer. So if 2 people work for the same employer, it would not affect the score. But if 3 or more people are working for the same employer, it would affect the score. Again, to achieve full fidelity on this item, employment specialists must assist clients with obtaining jobs with different employers 85 to 100% of the time. The item of competitive jobs, which is number 10 on the fidelity scale under services, ensures that employment specialists provide competitive job options that are permanent. Competitive jobs pay at least minimum wage, are jobs that anyone can apply for, and are not set aside for people with disabilities. During the fidelity review process, the reviewers will again look at the list of jobs for clients who are currently working, or if there are fewer than 10 jobs on the list, they will ask for a list of jobs obtained over the past 6 months. In order to score a 5 or complete fidelity on this item, 95% or more of jobs held by clients must be competitive and permanent. Reviewers will also talk to clients about the jobs for which they have applied and ask if they have been encouraged to consider non-competitive jobs. Additionally, reviewers will speak with clinical staff and the employment specialist to determine whether non-competitive jobs are ever encouraged to most effectively score this item. Now let's move on to fidelity items that look at the job retention phase of IPS under services. Individualized follow-along supports, or number 11 on the scale under services, seeks to determine if the same supports are not offered to all or most people. The supports offered to working clients need to be related to each client's work history, preferences, strengths, symptoms, and natural supports. In order to fully support clients with maintaining their jobs, it is crucial that job retention supports are tailored to meet individual wants and needs. Some examples of job retention supports that could be used include on-the-job coaching, off-the-job meetings to talk about work and employer supports, helping someone report benefits or meet with a benefits planner to discuss a change in income, providing wake-up calls, helping someone ask for a promotion, facilitating family meetings to talk about a job, observing someone at work to develop strategies for increased task understanding or efficiency, providing rides to work in order to help someone with anxiety, helping with travel training to the job site, coordinating services with vocational rehab, and/or attending an orientation. Mental health supports might include attending psychiatrist meetings to support needed medication adjustments, working on developing a budget, social skills training, encouragement regarding the job, or helping someone with grooming or dress for a job. We know that different people have different needs, which is why individual job retention supports are essential. In order to score optimal fidelity on this item, clients must receive different types of job retention supports based off their preferences, needs, and wants. Also, programs must use written job support plans in order for reviewers to score this item. Minimally, job supports should include an outline of job supports to be provided by the employment specialist, as well as steps that the client will take in order to succeed at the job. Optimally, plans would also include things that clinical team members and family members can and will do to help with the job. Quotes from the client are also encouraged when establishing what they will do as a part of the plan to support themselves with maintaining the job. It is also important that the employment specialist provides employer support, such as job accommodations and tax incentive forms. The employment specialist should also help clients with job changes or career growth that individual clients may want to continue to advance beyond a job to a career. This may include helping with an additional job search while supporting the client with maintaining their current job, or evaluating and supporting enrollment and progress in educational pursuits that are in line with career ambitions. During the fidelity review process, this item is evaluated through interviews with clients, clinical staff, and employment specialists, and also by reading job retention plans in the client's medical record. As we move on to look closer at item number 12 under services, or time unlimited follow-along supports, you will notice that there are very specific components that must be met in order to score a 5 or top fidelity on this item. The reasoning behind this specific item is that in order to effectively and fully support clients with beginning and sustaining employment, each client needs to be offered retention supports in a close time frame around the actual job start, as well as continued support for as long as is needed and desired by the client. During the fidelity review, the reviewers will interview employment specialists and clients to ensure that face-to-face contact is occurring for each client. Within 1 week before the job starts, within 3 days after the job starts, then weekly for the first month, and monthly for 12 months after the job start, although this may be more or less depending on what each client desires. Step-down supports to clinical staff that the client is working with at the agency should begin to occur following steady employment and as the client indicates is wanted. Also, employment specialists should contact clients within 3 days of learning about a job loss. When reviewers are conducting interviews, they may ask about some clients who are working but are no longer open to the IPS program. The decision to transfer someone off the team or out of the IPS program should occur because the person likes the job and has demonstrated steady work performance, not to accommodate capacity needs. As step-down planning for job retention supports occurs, the primary case manager should be prepared to talk about the job and should be clear that they can and should refer the person back to the IPS program if problems arise. Again, follow-along supports must be documented on a job retention plan, which reviewers will also look at when evaluating this item. Now let's talk about item number 13 under services, which is community-based services. We know that meeting with clients in the community creates more opportunities for success at finding the right job through hands-on job exploration and interaction in potential employment environments. We also can gain a better understanding of triggers in the community environment that may not be observed at the agency, which in turn can help shape good work environments for the client, as well as help them to further develop and use illness management coping strategies that will not only increase success at sustaining employment, but will also support overall mental health recovery and growth for the client. For this reason, the IPS Fidelity Scale states that 65% or more of the employment specialist time must be spent in the community. Agencies may track community-based service time in a variety of ways, including through monthly tracking logs, through location codes on progress notes, or from other internal system reporting features. During the Fidelity review, the reviewers will ask the agency if it tracks location for all services provided and will want to see the method in which this is tracked, as well as the percentage of time spent in the community over the past 6 months. Again, the goal is for employment specialists to spend a minimum of 65% of their time in the community. The last item on the Fidelity Scale under services is assertive engagement and outreach by integrated treatment team. When a client begins to miss appointments, it is the employment specialist and the mental health practitioner's responsibility to try to find out the reason that the person has not attended. For example, maybe the client has difficulty remembering appointments or lacks hope or confidence about finding work. Maybe family concerns have begun to occur that have redirected the client's focus. The team should make every effort to talk to the person and to try to help the person solve problems that may be getting in the way of the work goal. If someone says that they no longer want to work, then the employment specialist may then close the case. But still, the clinical staff should be encouraged to bring up work from time to time in the event the client wants to try to find work again at a later time. In terms of how this item is evaluated during the Fidelity review process, it is important to establish the service termination is not based on missed appointments or fixed time limits. Additionally, systematic documentation of outreach attempts must be available to reviewers, whether it be progress notes or an outreach attempt form. Multiple home or community visits must occur in an effort to re-engage the client. Also, engagement and outreach attempts must be made by integrated team members. This does not necessarily mean that the employment specialist and clinical staff must both be present for the client meeting, but rather that there is coordinated effort to outreach and engage a client. For example, a case manager might tell the employment specialist that she is seeing a person at 2 p.m. and the employment specialist is likely to be able to catch up with the person in the waiting room before. It might also mean that the employment specialist and case manager go together to meet a client at their home. When able and permitted, permission, connection with family members is also a good strategy. During the fidelity review process, this item is evaluated through progress notes, outreach forms, and clinical interviews with clinical staff and employment specialists. Okay, before I wrap up this training on IPS fidelity, I'd like to quickly review the key pieces of documentation that are necessary to achieve good fidelity. Number one, the vocational assessment or career profile. This document is a tool to support information gathering that is essential in guiding each client's job search. Multiple sources of information should be used to complete the vocational assessment, and it should be completed over 2 to 3 sessions and within 1 month of program enrollment. Number two, the job search plan or employment search plan is a tool that will help to synthesize the robust information documented on the career profile in order to guide a targeted, well-thought-out rapid job search. Roles and responsibilities for both the employment specialist and the client should be discussed, shaped, and developed to support an effective working relationship. Complete the job search plan within a month of program enrollment and as entering the rapid job search phase. Number three, the disclosure pros and cons worksheet. This form ensures the client is knowledgeable about and makes an informed choice for themselves with regard to what information about their mental illness is shared with employers. Complete this form during the assessment phase of IPS and update as changes occur. Also revisit if no job placement has occurred after 2 months of being in the IPS program or if there are problems that arise on the job. The fourth document that is key in the fidelity review process for IPS is the job retention and support plan. This helps everyone plan for and execute a smooth job start process. It also clearly identifies what the employment specialist, the client, and clinical staff or natural supports will do to support job maintenance. Every working client must have a job retention plan. However, it is best practice for every client, whether they're working or not, to have a job retention plan that is started during the assessment phase of IPS and that is tailored and individualized and completed fully once a job is secured. Number five, job development logs. These allow employment specialists to track employer contact efforts and manage follow-up visits in order to build quality relationships with employers that their clients want to work for. A minimum of 6 face-to-face employer contacts must be made per week according to individual client preferences on the employment specialist caseload. Also, in preparation for the IPS fidelity review at your agency, these are the things to have prepared for reviewers. First, a list of businesses where clients are currently working that includes job titles, job start dates, and the names of the businesses where they are employed. Remember, if there are fewer than 10 clients employed at the time of the fidelity review, please compile job starts with the same details for the past 6 months. Also, you should have employment specialist vacancies for the past 6 months. This helps reviewers to assess program capacity and executive leadership support. You should also have available any marketing brochures your agency uses to promote IPS, and have copies of job development logs for the past 3 months for each of your employment specialists. There should also be an IPS fidelity action plan, if this isn't your initial or baseline fidelity review, that indicates areas where recommendations for improvement were provided per fidelity scale item and the steps taken to improve these items from the last review. Often, this is best developed in collaboration with either your agency's quality assurance manager or the evaluation manager. You should also have whatever you use to monitor and document the location that services are provided. Again, this is used to assess the percentage of time spent in the community. You should also have field mentoring logs that support mentoring and training offered by the IPS supervisor to the employment specialist, and a QA report, which clearly identifies the competitive employment rate for the entire agency. Caseload lists for each employment specialist should also be provided. And lastly, any meeting minutes from steering committees or leadership meetings, team meetings, or supervisions that would support helping the reviewers gain a more comprehensive picture of organizational buy-in to IPS. Next, this slide outlines what must be included in a schedule of activities for the IPS Fidelity Review. Know that the provider is responsible for creating the schedule, given that they are on site at the agency daily and can best coordinate to ensure these activities occur. The items are that need to be scheduled for the Fidelity Review: an agency orientation or welcome session, and a time to observe the IPS team meeting, a time to observe two clinical treatment team meetings, a time to interview executive leadership, including the CEO, a time to interview the medical director or a psychiatrist for the agency, a time to interview at least three case managers, and a time to interview the IPS supervisor, time to interview two employment specialists, as well as time to shadow at least two employment specialists conducting job development, time to interview 5 to 7 clients, time to interview 1 to 2 family members, time to interview a DRS or vocational rehab counselor, time to interview the work incentives planner or benefit planner for the agency, time to interview 2 clinical team leaders, and then the agency lastly should pull 10 charts ahead of time that the reviewers can look through, and they will be seeking to find that IPS key documentation to support a multitude of items on the Fidelity scale. When pulling those 10 charts, it's important to have a range. We recommend that 3 of the charts are clients that we will also interview during the Fidelity review process. We'd like to see 3 charts for working clients or someone who's recently had a job. We'd like to see 1 chart for an individual that stopped attending appointments but that is still open to the IPS program. And we'd also like to see 3 charts for individuals in the IPS program who are in an active rapid job search. And now for the score. As you can see on this slide, a 115 to 125 is exemplary fidelity, 100 to 114 is good fidelity, 74 to 99 is fair fidelity, and anything 73 or below is not supported employment. This slide, which shows the ranges for scores and their meaning, indicates that the higher the score, the closer the adherence to the IPS model, and that means the greater the outcomes. All right, thank you. This is the conclusion of the presentation on IPS Fidelity 101.
Thank you for listening. You can obtain additional recordings or download a transcript by visiting the Illinois Supported Employment Transformation Initiative website.